Welcome to the Cheltenham School Board Meeting Podcast, online at www.cheltenhamlocal.org or at www.cheltenham.fm.
Cheltenham School Podcast. Facilities Committee Meeting. Part 1 of 2 Parts. May 7, 2019.
Minutes from April 2nd. Any comments, proposed changes?
So moved.
Okay. Take those as being approved. Next on the agenda is CHS Media Center, formerly known as the library.
Okay, I'm going to turn this over to Dan. If you guys remember him from last meeting, from Davia.
Yeah. I really did not feel well last evening, so last month, so I hope I was. I really don't even remember what I was talking about. It was probably the worst I've ever felt in years.
That's okay. This boy will remember.
Yes. It was a 50% discount off the
fees. I really did. I was after the meeting. Not mine.
You couldn't tell, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you. I feel great. This was sort of just a summary slide, basically, the budget. As we received yesterday, we were very happy with what we got, and then a review of the timeline, revisiting of the timeline. Bid opening, we had the opening on the 2nd, RFP not released from architects, and yeah, we didn't get the RFP in time, but the RFP from the architects.
So originally the bid opening was supposed
The bids didn't go out on time.
Bid opening was supposed to be May 2nd. It got pushed back to May 6th.
Getting as many bids as possible. We'll get to that. We only got one GC, but we had a very active bidding process. There's a lot of communication between our office in particular and the bidding community. We got one GC bid, 3 on the mechanical, 3 on the electrical, and we were very happy with that. As may have been mentioned, the IU bids there, we're totally revamping that project because we didn't get we got bids, but they were not within the budget that was established. So that whole project is being revamped. So frankly, again, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but based on the market that we have right now in terms of saturation of manpower and the numbers we're seeing in the market, the fact that we got coverage and we got numbers that, we received numbers that were within our budget that we set up, we're thrilled. So review first look at bids. Bids were open yesterday at 2. As you may have mentioned, we utilized Penn Bid. We did get a couple extra bids through that process, so it was beneficial. And the fact that you put it, most school districts are not putting building projects, they're mostly putting site projects on Penn Bid. The fact that it went on Penn Bid, we believe suppressed the numbers because people bidding had realized that it was the bids were going out, the documents to a larger audience, so I think that was key. Mr. Sakala, review and analyze the bids, and we actually did a lot of that already. Jumping ahead, we reviewed the bids for compliance with the contract documents. The architect was doing an independent review this afternoon. I didn't hear back from the architect. I don't know if, but I forget the terminology they used, but this firm basically has a meeting over the telephone with their engineers and their staff to make sure that the contractors included the scope that they believe should have been included. From our standpoint, we just reviewed their bid submission to make sure it was compliant, and we also spoke with the principals of each of the firms that submitted bids to make sure that they were standing by their numbers, and they all were. Next time, upon approval, work will begin late May. That's correct. And the anticipated completion date is September 15th. I don't remember how much of it was discussed last month, but the intended, again, we were brought on after the design was already finalized, but the intent was to have the project completed August 15th. Through communication with the marketplace, the one contractor in particular, the roofing subcontractor, the roofers are all tapped out for the summer period, so it really became essential in order to get, frankly, to get the bidders to bid, the GC to bid the project, to push out the substantial date on the library alone. There's a separate date for the courtyard if you choose that alternate. We'll get to the alternates in a minute. But so you basically have two completion dates. You have a September 15th date for occupancy of the library, and then you've got an October 15th date for the courtyard, if you choose to do the courtyard. Add alternates, I'll go over. There are three alternates. So I guess we can go to the next slide, please. So a revisit of the budget from last month. This was an extrapolation of the estimate that you had seen previously. Hard cost of 1.93. We had removed the design contingency because when you go out to bid, it's gone at that point. There was an additional $58,000. And again, we didn't create these numbers. They were from the architect, so we just pulled them out and put them in that format so we could sort of track them. We had a $58,000 value for basically what the marketplace, the uncertainties in the marketplace at bid day. And that's just 3% of the number. We have a construction contingency of 10% for basically change orders. And again, that's what the architect set up. We don't intend to utilize that ideally. We were talking about a second shift value of $183,000 by adjusting the schedules. We did that numbers off the table. So you're not spending that $183,000. It's gone. I mean, it's gone like you're not spending it. Not like it's gone like you spent it and it's lost. But we do not have to pay that. The courtyard, the way the alternate was created, the courtyard and the trellis, the 196 and the 62, you could think of it together as a $258,000 number because the alternate was a combined alternate. So the courtyard and trellis is one alternate. On top of that, soft cost of 20%. That would be, I mean, we're a fraction of that. Us, the architect, and whatever other, I think that's pretty much it for the most part. And then FF&E would be furniture, really. And those are just placeholders for those percentages. I'm sorry?
No, I just kicked him. I was apologizing.
I didn't feel that.
Let's put it with my leg, not your leg.
So those were our bidders, and that's the sum of the lowest base bids. And again, we spoke with, so it's basically $10,000 under the base bid hard cost value we had. And again, that's subject to the other additional amounts that we had in there that we're not gonna need to touch, like the second shift work. And again, we spoke to all three of them. They honored their numbers, their bids seemed good. And we can go to the next slide. Unless there's any questions about that.
So I guess a question then.
Sure.
I know of Carr & Duff. The other firms are the reputable firms. They have a track record history.
Yeah, in fact, and they're fairly local to the school district, too. We have experience with the exception of, there's a lot of people in our firm that have varied experiences. I don't know Yates personally, but I know the rest of them.
Okay.
We've worked with Walter Brucker. We worked with them on the STEM project, well as the Little Theater.
Okay.
We also worked with DeWitt in district with different projects. Carr & Duff would be the one that I don't believe that we've had experience personally with on any projects, but they're local.
Right. I've worked with them professionally before.
Okay.
Thank you.
And they said they do work with the school district as well. So then we get to the alternates. I guess here's where all the kind of the conversation will revolve. There are three alternates. The first one is a movable glass wall to separate out an area within the library. Again, we didn't create any of these alternates. $107,000 for a glass movable wall, in our opinion, is a fairly hefty number. If you were really concerned about, and we just did a tour of a project from Methacton because they're building a new elementary, and we looked at three movable walls in another building, and none of them are really used that much. It just made me think, because we just received the bid yesterday. That's a pretty high value for a movable wall. It is a glass movable wall. If you really wanted to have a movable wall, perhaps you might consider value engineering that. To a solid panel movable wall, but you're still going to be talking at least $50,000-$60,000 based on the design and size. So that would be one. I can take questions now or at the end of it, however you think of it. The courtyard to me is an interesting one. It's $229,000, and again, that's for the trellis and the courtyard work. So compare that against the 260 $8,000 budget for it, just back for reference purposes. It's your call. That too, if you wanted to sort of, if that number concerned you, we could, you very well could award the base contracts values to get the project going and revisit these if you choose to in the near future. If you wanted to, say, try to value engineer some of those items down, maybe you want a courtyard, but you're not comfortable with the number. I'm just throwing that out there. We'll be happy to do that. And we've already talked to the contractors about that. So,
do we have any renderings of what this, what they're contemplating with the courtyard? What elements of it are costing the contract?
It's a fairly elaborate. It's basically, I'm pretty sure they're leaving the big trees back there, but everything from the building to the trees is, it's going to be a fairly nice patio area with a large trellis and some lighting. I can't articulate it well enough to my liking, because I'd really rather be able to, I can't. But it's a lot of scope of work. I mean, obviously for that kind of money. There's all the stormwater work related to it. It doesn't trigger stormwater review because of the size of it, it's not that big. But for example, if that was something, I'm not trying to move this conversation, but if you wanted to like handle the base bid and bring that back to the board next month.
So Dan and I had this conversation, and when he's talking about the value added or having that conversation, basically you have the ability, because of the alternates, to go back to the contractors and try to negotiate and bring the price down. So you can kind of talk about what's in the scope of work, see if you can bring the numbers down to get the price, maybe taking some things out of the scope of work. That's what he's talking about, that if we keep the two conversations separate, where the base bid is basically the project of the library. So that's something you're going to be voting on. Each of these bulk bids, the way that we did them, we could choose all of them, we could choose none of them, we could choose one of them, two of them, however the discussion happens. And what he's saying is we have time to go back to the contractors and say, hey, we want to talk about this a little bit further. We might want to change the scope of work to see if we can drive the cost down, because maybe we're saying that cost is just too high for the courtyard. What can we do to bring that price down? What changes can we make? So that's what he's talking about in that conversation.
I don't want to talk out of turn. This is a fine time for
questions. That's
right. Okay. So one of the only things we've heard from the students is that this courtyard's really, really important to them. And we were saying at the end of last month's meeting that was going to be August 15th. Now we're saying September 15th for the library, October 15th for the courtyard. That would mean that that the students aren't really going to see it in the fall. They'll see it for a few weeks in the fall. And I'm wondering if the work in the library is in the interior and not moving the walls that border on the courtyard, why can't the courtyard work start sooner? You wouldn't need them to be in the building.
It will start soon.
So, but why is it ending later, though? If the courtyard is all exterior to the building and doesn't depend on the building being finished in order for the courtyard to be done, why can't the courtyard be done so that it would be ready on September 15th when the library is done?
Right. They have to come through the building to get to the courtyard.
That's fine, but that could be going on during the summer when the roof isn't that issue.
It would be our intent to try and get the courtyard done by September 15th.
Okay.
And what is the sequence of work or the sequence schedule? I don't know the extent in which, when you begin construction, what's phase one, phase two, phase three, phase four, and is the courtyard considered a phase 30
yeah,
once you start doing that? I don't know.
Right.
And can you move that forward and put it at the front end of the conversation?
There's no phases. I mean, it's always going to just get done. It's too short of a project to really have phases.
Okay.
The clear answer is we would try and get it done by the 15th of September.
That would be great, yeah.
So I guess a follow-up question to try to get done by September 15th, which is good.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I think the fundamental purpose of the courtyard was a seating area. It developed from that concept, which it obviously, from that concept, morphed into, well, this is how much it's going to cost you for a seating area. And the trellis, which is a very expensive piece, was around conversations we had with teachers with how do you support privacy along that wall for those who've been inside the courtyard in terms of boxes, because there are the life skills classroom is along that that stretch of the courtyard, and then we have obviously classes on the second floor.
I don't know if this is the right time to bring this up. It's been some sort of a sticking point with me with the courtyard all along. And, you know, I'm highly in favor of giving the students outdoor space and what we misunderstood. My concern is the location in terms of the distractibility with the classrooms around it. I mean, are they air conditioned? So will the noise, I'm talking about the noise factor. Having been in a building where there was a courtyard and classrooms were around it, it was a problem.
Well, that courtyard, kids were playing hacky sack. Kids were doing things that traditionally was designed for that. This courtyard is not designed for that. When we those type of activities that occurred in the Lower Marion courtyard are not the type of activities that are going to occur in this particular.
But
this
there's going to be noise.
Yes.
I mean, kids are going to be, you know, they're at lunch. They're having leisure. And is there a way to insulate that? The noise factor for the classrooms that are where the teachers are trying to teach.
Well, part of the trellis was to try to support that, but part of that was a commitment of the students with regards to this has to be your responsibility to manage. And when we get to experiences where teachers are saying this is becoming a distraction, then we're going to have to regroup and talk about how this is going to move forward. There are distractions in the general cafeteria for hallways who are right adjacent to it. The way in which we're designing the privilege and access that is granted to students, that is not a primary concern of mine. If this was an open space accessible to all students, then I'd have a significant issue with terms of how do we control that particular area and the amount of students that are coming in into that space. Doesn't mean that children are not going to get loud no matter where their backgrounds are, but we attempted to try to mitigate that with leadership that we spoke to, or student leadership, in terms of the responsibility of that, and address and had an opportunity to talk to teachers who were in that particular area about some of their about some of those concerns. Then that's when
I'm trying to imagine. Is it like a
overhead?
Yes.
Like a, what do you call it? A pergola?
Pergola.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably help to have pictures. Like, the visual might say, how is this?
I don't see pictures like that.
We didn't have
there were no renderings, but there are obviously drawings that have the information.
And I just want to revisit a conversation earlier. Was there going to be supervision? Are we having a kind of a campus security assigned to that area for the lunch period?
Yes.
Okay. Other questions about the courtyard? Those I'd like to move on. I think we have one more slide, and maybe we can revisit other questions.
Just there was a third alternate.
I'm sorry, we'll go to the public after the board's done.
Not quite about the courtyard.
Okay, it's fine.
If the option was chosen to negotiate some of the aspects of the contract, would that slow down the work?
No. No, it was what you'd do really quickly. It would happen next week or two. Yeah, even, I mean, frankly, depending on how the board meeting fell, we would frankly have to have that negotiated with the contractor, at least an understanding, like about the schedule, how it impacts the schedule, hopefully in a good way, and what the options are. We would. You can't. You know, there's no time in the schedule, so the understanding. I'm telling you that with the understanding that we know we can't push the schedule. If anything, we got to bring the schedule back to the September. 15th.
That's why I ask. Some people don't always agree the first time around the table.
Yeah. I was just going to mention the third alternate.
it's, you know, whether it's visual or it's noise, the equipment screen is to basically be on top of the roof, you're getting a new roof, mm-hmm. and the screen would go around the new air conditioning equipment. So it's both a visual and a noise battle. So for example, I mean, we didn't, for example, if you were not sure about that and you weren't sure about the level of noise coming from that, you'd at least need to do the structural elements that would be connected to the roof to support that screen if you wanted to do the screen at a later date.
Well, we had asked one of your representatives to see the extent in which, I'm not sure the audible pitch, tone, that system delivers. And they were checking to see when you turn on the air conditioning, to what extent does that take place. Well, we weren't given that. He didn't say that. He just said he was going to check to determine what the capacity of noise is once the AC is turned on. But that was the intent of that barrier, was to mitigate whatever noise was coming out of that area. But that's what happens when you decide to put together an air conditioning unit to provide AC for those particular rooms.
Yeah. I'm sorry, do you have a sense about the dB level, like a gust?
I don't. I mean, it's
what we asked.
Yeah,
I
know.
Instead of you coming, I don't. Yeah, I'm going to guess.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm
sorry.
couple things. This has come up for us before in other projects, but while I'm happy to see that we have multiple bids on electrical and mechanical, only one on general contractor. And my understanding was we were leveraging a tool or a system that was going to be projecting our bid out broadly so as to enable more bids in more categories. So I for one have some concern about just a single bid on the biggest part of the job. Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. We reached out to pretty much all the general contractors. There are less general contractors in the marketplace than there are mechanical electrical and plumbing, just generally. And they're all pretty busy. The roofing was a big aspect of it. We had a project out for our MCIU that we were totally repackaging and bring it back. It's out to bid again. And we totally changed the schedule. We turned what was a summer project into fall into a fall into spring into summer project. Because there are just the roofers that, and we've gotten this from the consultants we deal with that just do roofing work. There's just a saturation level in the marketplace. It's as simple as that. Now I'm looking at, you don't have, it's on the previous slide, but like Pagoda and Five Star and Freilets, they all came, you know, a little west of here, and they bid it because we really pushed them to bid it. Yates, again, I'm not familiar, personally familiar with Yates, but I wouldn't worry, but if your numbers were over, it'd be a different story. Then you look at it in a totally different light. If your numbers were out of the range, what you don't see is, we again, having the estimate, when we release the numbers to the market, we actually post and we share the numbers for electrical, mechanical, and general with the people who inquire and sign up. Actually, PennBid, we originally had, I want to say, like 30 contractors sign up initially. And then as the process went on, we lost people, frankly, because of the schedule. I mean, we probably lost most of the people because there's just so much saturation right now privately, and then most schools are doing work around the summer. It's the nature of things. I mean, Kara really pushed back when we asked about extending the schedule out, but we were concerned we would not have good bids at all on bid day. So that was the only reason why we asked that. And she made it very clear we need to finish on time, which we always do. But I don't know what else to tell you other than we're not concerned. The numbers weren't on budget. So I was like, we broke down that $1.93 million into general, mechanical, and electrical. And it pretty much came in the ballparks for all of them. So, and it was under. So had it not been under that, frankly, like we had this in Upper Perk. Upper Perk, we went out to bid very similarly, about a $2-point-something million project, and we rejected the electrical bid. We only had one, and we rejected it because it was above our estimate, the estimate that we were working under, and we had to rebid it twice. And then we finally got the number down to where it needed to be. So, I'm happy to answer any more you want about this.
We were concerned that making sure that we got bids. I mean, we were really concerned about that because of this timeline and the quick turnaround, and quite frankly, how deep we are into the season of general contractors and people already having jobs set aside. So I'm the same way. I saw the one with the GC. But again, if that number would have come in at 1.9, then that's where the concern is. The fact that the number came in around where the cost estimate was supposed to be, then that tells you that the bid was good. It would be nice to have three more, but if those bids were at 1.9, 1.5, Walter Brucker would still be. So that's the integrity of that piece of the bid. And again, there's not as many GCs, but this schedule is really, really limiting us on getting a multiple number of people to bid on this project because people's calendars are already stretched.
Even the pre-bid we have, and what we call a pre-bid meeting with the contractors, so we advertise and then we go down and pen bid, and the world, whoever's interested, can see what the pre-bid date is. So, like, I attended the pre-bid, I forget what date it was, a couple of weeks ago. And we, like, for example, we thought we were going to have one more mechanical for sure that was really engaged. We had lots of conversations, but at the end of the day, we just didn't have the manpower and staff, and so they didn't get it.
And was Walter Brucker, that we talked to and worked with Mr. White and his township counterparts, understand that the job as designed takes into account anything we would need to be thinking about as far as student safety?
Well, there was nothing we couldn't do except for when we talked to Mr. Beck, who is a Montgomery County safety, and brought that to attention along with the township about the probability or the scenario of a lone gunman on the second floor gaining entry into a classroom and then using that entry with the way the window's up to fire down on those individuals. That is not a safety area where students would go to. Students are running inside the library if there was a lockdown situation. When there is a lockdown, all the classrooms' doors are automatically locked. Anyone who gains entry into a classroom would do that with the weapon that they had and would shoot that door to gain entry into that particular area. The same way when we have, which one of the drills that we're going to look at practicing next year, students don't go into those large areas as a hiding area. You're asked to go inside the classroom behind closed doors, behind windows, behind desks. So there's nothing preventative we could do if that was the case except for follow your safety protocols. So in the event of an emergency or a lockdown, students would make their way inside the library. Hence some of the previous conversations we had about, well, there was glass along the wall of the hallway, which is the same issue that came up with Cedarbrook on the first floor, which when you have a lockdown and you're asked for your classroom, when you have glass everywhere, so we have put shades in that area as well. So we shared with them. Mr. Brown was part of that conversation. Mr. White was part of that conversation. Beck was part of that conversation, along with two other members from emergency management, that if we, in the event of that polar fit situation, and obviously this evening's news about not too far away from Columbine also raises that fear as well. In the event of that catastrophic possibility, we try to go into those smaller spaces and not necessarily create an opportunity for that to happen. And most, not an expert, but some of the literature we've been reading, because we went to that conference and talked about mass shooters in terms of their intent to find areas where there's a lot of individuals to lay out their carnage as much as possible, and those type of venues would be more attracted to them. So you don't put kids in the auditorium and push them there, because that's where they would go, or push kids in the cafeteria. Hence the challenge of doing a drill when kids are actually eating, and where do they go, which has been a challenge for us, which happened by accident. We had to do that, but we did have conversations with them about those, about that scenario, anything that the district could do to mitigate that that possibility. And part of that is implementing the lockdown procedures, ensuring that that courtyard is not a safe space when there is a lockdown, and students are going to be directed to go into the library and into those rooms.
Yes, just a couple of questions. To the extent that the form and function of the glass wall can be accomplished with obviously a, you know, maybe a half of a glass wall or whatever an alternative would be at less cost, I would definitely want to be able to pursue that if the form and function would be accomplished by using different materials.
Yeah. And I don't think we, in the best worlds, yes, but it does not lose its functionality. The sole purpose was to create an open space and allow the ability for students to see the learning that was happening in multiple settings. And the glass idea came across, but it was really the primary focus is how do we have separate spaces, but when we need to, we open up those walls and we turn three separate classrooms, very similar to the second floor at Cedarbrook, and you open it up to 60 to 65 students if you're having a large learning opportunity. So it won't lose its function in terms of the purpose of opening up that space to allow more collaboration. That was the primary objective. The glass was the ability to see the work and see the interaction happening that stimulates the learning, but that's not a prerequisite for that.
And my only other question similar to that in terms of the form and function of the patio. So I do not recall what the patio design was, and I would not want to save, I mean, I want to save money in terms of the patio design, but it, I think for me it would be helpful to see kind of the before and after with respect to what would be negotiated in terms of a lower rate.
Yeah.
So if the same form and function would be in place at the lower cost, all for it. If we really lose the essence of what we were trying to gain by having the patio, by saving a couple of dollars, it may not be worth it in the end. But it would be nice as a board member to have kind of before and after.
And for me, the function was just a seating area, a gathering area. And looking at if you and I encourage the board, maybe we should have done this in hindsight, the next time you're at the high school, ask Dr. McFaul to take you there and you kind of get a sense of a better sense of the space, and it's tight, there's lots of trees, so there's challenges about what how much real estate do you have in order to do that. But it was an opportunity to try to give some seating area, not necessarily, I guess, you guys would tell us more specifically about the logistics that go into that cause, but for me it was how do you get 35 to 40 students during each lunch period in that setting, knowing that that is the maximum that it would occupy, the maximum that we're comfortable. Sure, the courtyard's going to hold a lot more students, but what we'd be comfortable with respects to with that, and knowing that students have options in terms of where they eat. If you think about the last time you were in the lunchroom, though sometimes it looks crowded, students do leave and go to other venues. and decide whether I'm going to sit in the senior calf, I'm going to sit in the other calf, or I'm going to go to the library, the makeshift library that is there, or prior to the library being open, they would do that. Even though we frown, and facilities frowns on taking food all over the area with our little critters that running around, but there are other places where students would. So we know that that, based on the criteria we put into place with the student leaders that, in the profile, the type of student that would be in there, that a lot of those things would be mitigated in terms of distractions. Those students were less likely, not impossible, but to exhibit some of the stuff that was concerning to us in terms of noise and distraction and not respecting the space, because it was the seniors, if you recall, who came to us and talked about the senior cafeteria and that they respect the space and want to keep the space, but there were individuals who were coming into their territory, for a lack of a better term, who didn't have the same commitment in terms of cleaning up and keeping it orderly, and then we have to try to figure out no freshmen, sophomores, you're not allowed to come in here yet. Wait your turn in line in terms of space. But we'll look into that in terms of that. Now, I know if you remember, and obviously you won't remember, but the rest of the board, there was some conversations about in-house work with Mr. Brooks. Is there ways in which we can think about doing that without going into that area? But that was just preliminarily touched on before we went really deep into that process. So we'll try to explore if indeed at some point when we, if we do move forward with that, a reduction in terms of finding a good function as opposed to, and then at the same time mitigating the cost.
So I guess a process question without getting to a lot of detail is we have 1 week to basically resolve things for the board to vote on it. And the question largely...
No. There's interest in the items.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, we've been talking about this timeline that has not been presented to the public yet. There's one more slide. We might want to show the last slide.
I can delay that answer.
That's fine. We can go to the last slide and go over the answer. That's fine. Thanks.
And that's all.
Yeah, I think we actually addressed most of these before.
With your permission,
sure.
I think I understand where you're coming from. You need to see what it looks like, see what the proposal is, and also be nice to see. I know it's a short period of time, right? See the whatever maybe some suggestions to. Other than just saying yes to this, yes to that, yes to that.
And I think
I understand what they might be, so.
Right, I think even if we're not looking for full renderings per se, but something between schematics and renderings maybe without.
We have drawings. Drawings.
Oh, that's great.
The contractor is going to build what's on the drawing, so if it's not there, it can't be. So it's there.
Okay.
It's not, pretty colors and everything, but it's there.
But in terms of new concepts, you can't really do new concepts in a less.
Sure, we can. It's just work to do, but we can do it. Yeah.
Okay, great. I
think the task is pretty straightforward.
Okay.
It's a little short time frame, but we'll do it if that's all right with you.
So does that seem to make sense about that direction? And there seems to be, without going over everything again, there seems to, I think, be pretty clear to me during discussion about what the issues were with the cost and various options with the glass wall. And also the courtyard. Does that make sense? The idea that's proposed.
And we'll get that information up in our update on Friday.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So, question. I think we went around without going around, but
we didn't quite go around.
Right.
You can go first anyway.
Well, I can't tell. I'm not sure what sections are when we have our formal pause. We want to ask questions or not.
That's fine.
The trellis got combined with the courtyard, but it's unclear to me. Is it actually combined with the courtyard? And is the trellis the kind of... It sounded like the trellis was a solution to a problem we don't know we will have yet in terms of sound. And I'm curious if we decided not to do the trellis, because that represents a 25% increase in the cost of the courtyard, would that be something that could be revisited at practically the same cost later or not?
Perhaps.
Okay.
The only hesitation is if there's any structure that has to be built into the, okay, the patio that would support the trellis. I can verify that. And similarly, you don't see a breakout on the trellis, so I can get you the breakout number for the trellis as well.
The electrical, just to correct me if I'm wrong, is attached to that piece of the building. Mm-hmm. So the electrical bid is directly impacted by the trellis.
Okay.
There's lighting.
So there's lighting, which I'm a little confused on what is lighting.
Oh, me too. We're not having a junior prom out there.
This isn't a nighttime thing where we're attracting people.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why there's lighting built into the trellis.
I have free lunch too, that's it.
Let me get you some
breakout. Yeah. Is this about the trellis or something else?
It's second question.
If I can follow up about the trellis. So, will the trellis also provide some some meaningful degree of shading?
Sure, yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to point that out in terms of, otherwise, I assume the students, so there's nothing there in terms of a pergola, the students would be there in the bright sun or the elements when they're there, and this would provide some degree of protection.
But that's what they wanted.
No, that's right. I'm saying that.
They want to be able to handle that process. They didn't want to be inside because we're constricting their ability to go and get fresh air. So now they're able to get fresh air. Now they want a pergola to make sure that it's not 95 degrees.
Yeah. No, that's so what I'm saying. I think it's actually, I wanted to point out, I think it's a good thing in terms of, it's not just ornamental, also buffer sound.
No,
it
no, not
It also provides some degree of shading.
Yes, it does.
A significant degree,
yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Before you go to that, because it's a trellis question too.
Sure.
So my question was, to what degree is it really a sound barrier? Like, does that really, are we going to pay this money and then still have teachers complain about a noise factor?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes?
Teachers are going to complain. All teachers, but even though we're in Cheltenham, I want to say all.
Okay.
In a lot of places, all.
Just as long as we clear that that's not like 100% like...
Yeah, I don't think the sound was the initial reason for the trellis. I think it's more Mr. Culler's point that it was to protect against elements.
So, okay.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to, because I'm hearing sound and I'm like, trellis, sound, you know.
Just to reiterate my question, sound, shade, anything, it's a solution to a problem we don't know people are going to complain about yet. I mean, we know people are...
Sure.
But
yes,
so
yes.
That's, I just wanted to better understand.
But that was what came out of the conversation when we spoke to teachers.
Interesting.
Yeah. About what are you going to do to mitigate if students. We tried to articulate that we don't believe that is the case in terms of those who would be afforded the opportunity to have that experience. But we put that into the perspective requests and drawings in terms of, okay, let's figure out how do we accommodate the concern of the number of teachers that said that on the bottom floor.
Around the glass walls.
I'm good.
I'm just saying, do my three. What is the motivation of the bike? Right now it sounds like that's expensive for a wall. The movable walls don't tend to get used. I'm curious from administration.
What do you mean movable walls don't get used?
That was something that was referenced, that often movable walls don't get used. So I'm asking the administration.
From an instructional perspective?
That's what I'm asking.
And that's why he's where he's at and I'm at where I'm at. It gets used.
Great. That's all I wanted to know.
Because we open up the space.
Right.
In terms of the fee.
I didn't mean to throw you under any rug.
Yes. But yes.
So my question was, where did this come out, and is it important from the administration's perspective? It sounds like the answer is yes.
The ability to open, yes.
Great.
But not necessarily.
Not necessarily. The glass was just an added feature in terms of the visibility of what's happening. The same way, if you go to the STEM classroom, that garage door that opens up, it didn't necessarily have to be. Mm-hmm. Could have been a solid idea, but when you look at when you go across spaces, beautiful spaces across the country and see how glass is being incorporated in terms of visibility, it generated the request for that.
Can I ask a quick question just for clarity? So in the drawings, there are actual learning spaces that were all glass. That's not where the removal is.
That's not what
that's separate. Yeah. So there's also another one that's going to divide the library this way. So I just want to make it clear that we still have learning spaces that are segregated with the glass that students will be able to go into.
Yes.
This just opens and creates even more of a separation within the library on top of those other learning spaces. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure that everybody's clear about that piece of it.
So if the idea is that if there were two teachers who wanted to collaborate, you would open up that space and allow 40 plus out students and then some to occupy that space. It was part of the intent to create much more collaborative spaces and to create maker spaces in that particular area as well.
Other board questions?
I have one other. Sure. Do we have a sense of the village impact of this project in over the next 5 years?
No, I think it's already been.
Can you repeat that?
Do we have a sense of what the millage impact of this project?
I would say it was already built into taxes raised because we already borrowed the money that's been built into our budget.
So basically,
these are bonds that have already been borrowed.
So it's zero essentially. Is the
yeah.
Okay. And I just wanted to note that it's astounding to me that the estimate is within 10,000 of the zero.
Okay, go out to the public. Please state your name and where you reside in the township.
My name is Len Eisenman. I live at 7808 Froebel Road in Glenside. I had two questions. One, Mrs. Haywood addressed having to do with the wall. I think that's an unnecessary expense in terms of having a glass wall. The second question, it has to do with what is the process by which you go through to actually hire a contractor? In other words, is it just the lowest bid, or are there other considerations that are taken into consideration?
It's the lowest responsible bid, is the nomenclature. It's essentially going out to the community at large in a public, formal way, and anyone who wants to submit a bid provides a bid bond and the other required documents and fills out the bid form accurately. That's pretty much the standard. I mean, I'm giving you a really watered down answer, but that's pretty much it.
And how often are these bids overrun?
Up until about 6 months ago, I would say oftentimes they were under budget. But in the last 6 months in particular, I mean, it's kind of been happening for more like a year, but particularly the last 6 months, there's been significant over-budget projects. Significant. Significant more than 50% of the time.
I'm sorry. To be clear, that's based on your knowledge of the industry, not specific to the school district here.
Oh, no, it has nothing to do with the school district.
Right.
We do work everywhere from Harrisburg, New York, Maryland, and Philly, so in the totality of
the projects. Right, I just want to make sure people are clear on the context.
It has nothing to do with Shelton. The totality of the projects, every week we have multiple projects coming in for bid, and I would say that more than 50% of them, and I'm not even including ourselves, I'm also thinking.
This concludes this school board recording. This recording is copyright by KD3HW and is released for free distribution under the Creative Commons Attribution No Derivations 3.0 United States license. Podcast sounds courtesy of freesound.org. See the acknowledgement page of the podcast website. Thank you for downloading us and have a great day.